Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Our guest is returning old friend Mike Patterson. Mike Patterson has spent a lot of time in the wilds of Ontario, Canada. He's developed a close personal relationship, interpersonal relationship with a tribe of Sasquatch there, one of whom is named Neff, that he's become quite familiar with, and vice versa. I thought I'd bring Mike back to give us an update on what's going on in the Sasquatch world, at least the part that he's privy to, the part he's familiar with, intimately involved with, as well as perhaps his thoughts, as well as the Sasquatch tribe's thoughts about what's going on in our world at the moment. So, without any further ado, Mike Patterson, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. Happy to be here. Nice to see you again.
Likewise. Well, tell me what's been going on with you, and how's the research going? You've been involved in some conferences lately, and you're always in demand for podcast guesting and what have you. What's been going on?
The last conference I did, it was a small venue in that, but it was a little town called Bala, Ontario. And that's it's a really nice, quaint area, very forested, a lot of lakes and cottages up in that region, right? So they had the Bala Bay Inn, which is haunted. So a group of ladies called the Black Moon Paranormal Society, they contacted me. They were looking for somebody to speak about Sasquatch. So I didn't realize till it got closer that I didn't ask them if they had the equipment for doing a PowerPoint presentation, and found out they didn't. They didn't have the screen and all that stuff, and so I just kind of winged it. I threw a bunch of audio on a stick on a USB, and for the most part, just played audio. I just speak off the top of my head whatever comes up, right? And I don't tend to re I don't tend to prepare for these types of things. I know my stuff, right? I've done it for so long and experienced so much at this point. So it went well. I was happy with how it turned out. So that was cool.
Did anything happen there that might suggest that your Sasquatch friends or an allied tribe of Sasquatch had made their presence felt, or any paranormal activity that occurred?
Not that I was aware of. I don't know if there was stuff going on in there afterwards, because they were there for basically the weekend, right? I just showed up for a few hours, really. That was about it. But yeah, personally, I didn't really notice any activity or anything. I actually have a buddy who lives just on the outskirts of town there, a good friend of mine, and he owns some cottages there, and he had told me he came down to watch. I went back to his place for dinner later, and he had told me before about I think it was his sister found a footprint between two of the cottages in the winter, just one single print in the snow. In that place, it's dead in the winter. Nobody's there, right? The place is shut down. So yeah, one single footprint. And then he's told me he's heard some strange stuff in the back 40. He's got a good chunk of property there, right? It's all wooded, and it's bear country basically, right?
What we've
So
seen in the recent past, as above, so below, tumult. Upheaval in the heavens reflected on the earth. And we've seen, I don't know if you want to get into this, maybe a little bit, but what I've seen from the outside looking in is there's always been an effort to bifurcate, to divide, to atomize the cryptid community, with those who were like the apers, that these are just undiscovered primates of one kind or another. Vis-a-vis those like ourselves, who know that at least for some of the Sasquatch tribes, there's a metaphysical, indeed interdimensional component, an extraterrestrial component to them, even. But now it's gotten even more extreme, where you have these people who I liken to almost like Christian fundamentalists, Christian Zionists, almost of a Taliban-like mentality as far as intolerance and as far as castigating and hurling stones at others and verbal abuse and what have you. You've been on the receiving end of that in the recent past. A lot of it is jealousy, quite frankly, and a lot of it is an unwillingness to be upstage, to be have someone else steal a march on them because they know more or have experienced more. And you're safely on the inside, but you're safely on the outside too, because you don't get involved in all that mess. You let them squabble amongst themselves. What's your perception of just how much the whole cryptid community has started to unravel in the recent past?
Well, as you know, James, I've had a lot of crap flung at me over the years. When I first started putting this stuff out back in 2013, it took me, I waited about a year, I think it was close to a year before I mentioned, I was putting out footprints, right? Showing the footprints, and everybody's, oh, follow the footprints, see where they go. They were in snow, right? I said, I know where they go. And that was it. I left it at that. Took me, I think, about a year before I really opened up and said, they don't go anywhere. 100% of them, trackways, single prints, they just show up and, I already knew they had abilities, right? And nobody was really talking about this except Kawoni. He was basically the only one that I can recall that, and he didn't really show any supporting evidence. He has his publication, or had his publication back then. I think he just had the one book out. So he was about the only one doing that. And I come into this with a lot of supporting evidence and experience after experience. They've shown up every visit since day one. Right, this has never stopped. When we're on location, they're indoors with us every visit. I'm gifting on the kitchen counter. I don't even go into the woods to do any gifting or anything. It's all done indoors. Communication, written communications indoors. There's physical contact. There's a porch. This is just common every visit. So, I start putting out the fact that they were invisible. Interdimensional, for lack of a better term. There are no walls with them. I've come to realize, captured vocals in my car. I've had activity in my car numerous times. Activity indoors at home, activity inside at the cottage, vocals recorded, and so it's a fact, right? This isn't theory for me. And then we have people like Meldrum, who's propped up as this expert when I see him as having nothing except, knowledge that they exist. That's it. That's all he's got. And and he's a bump in the road. He's in the way of progress. That's how I look at him. I put stuff in front of him, and I don't know if it's his bias or what it is, but he laser scanned Neff's print. This was interesting. So it was John Bindernagle, Les Stroud, and Jeff Meldrum on a television show about hoaxed prints, and they had a table of casts in front of them. And it's funny, Les, I think he's doing a crowdfunding thing, and he's got a couple minute trailer video, and there's a shot of Neff's foot with that green laser going over top of it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting that he used that. And when they did that show, and that what was what the whole premise was about was hoax prints. And I remember on that show, they asked, or I think Les, which one do you want to cast? Whole table of them. Or which one do you want to scan? There's a whole table. He points to Neff's, right? I think they wanted to see if it was fake, right? And so they laser scanned it, and then they didn't say anything. They left it hanging, which was spoke volumes to me. It's like, oh, okay, you guys know it's real, and now you can't say anything, because if you do, all of a sudden you're saying this guy is putting out real shit that the rest of them have been in denial about, right? And like I said, it was interesting that they left that hanging and they said nothing. And since then, though, like I think I'm the only person who's been able to show as much growth on a Sasquatch foot over a period of basically a decade, you know, showing the growth on one individual. And also, you know, at this point, there's a younger family member, Nin Yanin, who I think is about 14 years old, and he's very very involved in the activity at this point, just as much as Neff was earlier on. It's almost like Neff's kind of stepped back a little bit, but he's there. You know, well, we were at a we were up there, I don't know, a few weeks back, and at one point late in the night, Neff called out my name, so it was nice to hear his voice. It was distant. But it was interesting too, because Dwayne was inside and he had music going. You know, the window was open, but Ness's voice was like it sounded very distant. And you know, I got the recording of it too, and you know, it sounds distant, but Dwayne heard it, so I thought that was interesting. So I don't know what was going on with that, right? But as far as Nin Yanin, he's like, he's a character, you know. I gotta watch my phone. I gotta have my phone on me all times because he's hijacked my phone a couple times. And I'll tell you this, this sounds crazy. They know how to use a phone. They know all our electronics. And I think it's
Yeah.
very simple, very,
Some
very easy for them.
beings have the ability to insert images into one's photo library in their phones.
Oh, I've had this happen many times, you know, and it's, you know, I can understand it's difficult to comprehend or accept for most people, you know. Oh yeah, Sasquatch knows how to use a phone or knows how to use camera or knows what this is, or and it's like, yeah, they do, and they make humans look slow in every way. You know, their timing is impeccable. I'm quite sure that they can read our thoughts because the
Yes.
response time is too fast.
Well, it takes it to
So,
another
yeah.
level of understanding because it's no longer just this cold clinical analysis, the size of a print, the depth of a print. Oh, here's a possible scat sample or possible hair sample. It takes it to another level entirely. And a lot of the more resentful, jealous, stick-in-the-mud types in the field, they don't want that because it for some weird reason, and this has got to do with ego, they see that it, I think in a way they think it like it takes some of the luster off of their own accomplishments because there's someone out there, not that you're gloating about it, not that you're like lording it over everyone else. Oh, look at me and I have all this stuff going on with, and I'm interacting with them. It's you're just presenting facts. And to your credit, you had to wait until it was, enough time had passed where you thought that it would be semi-acceptable. We may never get to the stage where it's completely acceptable. So at some point, one has to put out information and just let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. But the resentment and the hostility is such. Like, for example, when the picture came out, presumably of Neff looking over the fence, it was
That
almost
is
as if,
Neff.
yeah, it was almost as if, someone had like broken open a like a hornet's nest in the cryptid community, and everyone just went, pardon the ape reference, but ape shit about the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, those two headshots that are placed side by side are two separate images that I cropped to bring him closer and put together to show the difference in the facial expressions, which are clear if one just looks, you know, and doesn't have willful ignorance or is in denial wearing blinders or whatever. It's simple to see. He's grinning, smiling, his cheeks are raised up in the smile. You know, it's easy to see, right? And I get the mask thing all the time, and I sat on those for almost 3.5 years. And then when I was told to put them out, Mike, you show, I knew I was almost, not almost, I was like, ah, shit, here we go, you know, because I knew what was going to happen. And by that time, almost 3.5 years later, you know, basically, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
If
Who
these
gives a
get put
toss
out,
at this point? Who cares? Whatever. They can
yeah.
scream their areolas off at this point. It doesn't matter because some of them see themselves as a clearinghouse of information. Oh, we've got to vet it. I have to approve it. I have to give my stamp of approval before it's permitted to be put out there. They can bugger off. It's called free speech for a reason. And the fact that you've put that out there and the predictable result, they're just stabbing themselves in the foot, so to speak. And what's going to happen is they're going to be left by the wayside, a lot of these people, because there's so much fractiousness and infighting amongst them. People don't have time for that anymore. They're going to go to where the source of information is, right? And getting back to the thing about the attempted hoaxing of Neff's footprint, when they did the laser scan and they saw all the contours that characterize and typify a foot, whether it's of a hominoid or a human, it was like, well, you really can't hoax this with plaster of Paris, you know what I mean? Because there's going to be detail that's going to show up that it's better left. They leave it with the implication that it's a hoax, but then they just leave it dangling. That's very old UFO debunking tactics that they're now kind of using against the cryptid community.
At one point, I had put a couple things in front of Meldrum because I was in a group email and he was in there and he goes, okay, I'll bite. He said, that one's a double print. That one was wearing shoes. And he called a vocal I captured indoors ridiculous. And I thought, you're biased. You're pathetic. You're wrong on all of that, every one of them, because I'm in the thick of it, you know. I'm the one with the experience, not him. He doesn't have any experience, you know. He's an anthropologist who measures, does anthropology, you know. He's measuring stuff, and you know, he's got three letters behind his name, so he's propped up as some expert when the truth is he doesn't have any experience. You know, it's those that are out in the field that make contact that have the experience. And that's what was given to me. I didn't make contact. I put myself in the position. They gave me contact, right? It's we don't have any choice. Well, I have a choice. I could walk away. I'm just saying we don't have any control over the matter of making that happen. It's all up to the Sasquatch, right? Who they select for to interact with. And
Yes.
those that have that ape mentality or are not on the side of truth and progressing this subject for the right reasons, they get nothing.
As far as this, what's the name of the juvenile I'm calling him? Nin, how do you pronounce it?
Ninyanen. Ninyanen.
Yeah,
Ninyanen.
phonetically, Ninyanen. Now, I think, not knowing any better, you're the expert, but it seems to me that in linear time terms, these beings, at least some of them, can live quite a long time. What is considered the cutoff point when they stop being a juvenile in your eyes and in Neff's eyes, and when do they start being, okay, we're grooming him for manhood, we're grooming him, Nin for short, to make more of a, take more precedence in the tribe, so to speak. It seems to me he might be getting groomed for some kind of, position in the future.
Well, I was given Neff's age in human years. I had asked when he was 25, so that backtracked the situation to put him at about 17 years old when this first started. Ninyanen, I don't know his age. I assume he's around 14 at this point. And it's funny that curled toe that Meldrum had mentioned was wearing a shoe. Ninyanen's got the same trait. He's got that curled toe as well. And what do babies' feet look like when they're born? Yeah, their
Yes,
toes are
the
curled. So
yes.
it makes Meldrum not look very smart saying something like that, right? But I'm always kind of hammering at him, right? Because I'm so disappointed with science in this subject, and it's basically maintaining a narrative, right?
Yes, it is.
But as far as grooming, or however you want to look at it, with Ninyan. So Neff, you know, he's an adult at this point, right? His foot as of last year was 16 inches. I can hear more depth, or his voice has gotten a little deeper. So Ninyanen, I think he's got a he has that rambunctious character, kind of like Neff did. Or Neff seems to have, like I said, seems to just kind of mellowed out a little bit over the years, and now Ninyanen's come into the picture, and he's just, oh man, like there's a cushion on my the chair that I sit on in Dwayne's kitchen in his cottage, and it's got these little divots, like one, two, maybe 12 or 15 of them. And Ninyanen is, I've stood up or gone to the fridge, come back, sit down, they've all been filled up with water, so I get an ass soaking. He's got me a few times like that, putting stuff. Last visit, I learned that it seemed that they liked my homemade pickles, because Dwayne had some with a lunch one day and they disappeared. So I thought, oh, they like my pickles. So I put some on the counter that la the last visit. We're sitting down doing our, we'll sit at the kitchen table, have discussion all night, basically, over a few beers, right? So we're sitting there, and I turn my head just for a second, a couple seconds, literally. Turn back, pick up my beer, take a swig. Thankfully, there wasn't much left because he ruined it. All of a sudden, the taste is off. I'm like, what? I cut it open. There was, I can't remember, it was three or four chunks, like good sized chunks of pickle in there. They were put in so fast. They're not dropped in. They're not dropping these in through the top, right? They're manifesting them inside the can. It's just, and it's so, it was like that last visit. He did a couple things that was showing me the speed of which they can move.
Yes.
So where I just turn for a second and turn back, and it's done, right? The deed's done. So he's a character with the tricks, always doing the tricks.
Well, there's a term that the English and the Australians use, cheekiness, to denote someone who's kind of like in the pranks and practical jokes and kind of a like a lighthearted attitude, let's say, right? So he's manifesting that to you, but he's also once again giving an object lesson of their ability to manipulate and control time and space. Barriers, enclosures, bottles, none of that matters, right? And
No.
I think that's hilarious that what he did to your beer.
Yeah, it's the other thing with him, I bet you I'm the only person on earth who is basically supplying a young male Sasquatch with magic mushrooms. I've dosed him probably about 15 times now. He takes them every time. He's gone into my bag before I've even pulled them out. We've been outside and doing something, and I come back in, go to get them, to put them on the counter, they're already gone out of
Wow.
my bag, right?
So would he take? Well, go ahead.
At first, when I was doing that, I was quiet about it, because I thought, man, if I say this publicly, they're just gonna think I'm completely off my rocker. And then after a bit, I get to a point, James, that I don't care, because I
Well,
know I'm speaking truth, right?
why would humans or human medicine men, medicine women, shamans, and the like? Traditionally, why would they be the only sentient beings to take natural hallucinogenics? When we've seen in nature how certain animals, certain life forms, avail themselves of certain chemicals, alkaloids, properties for specific purposes, it's like they instinctively know or drawn to certain items in nature for whatever purpose. So why should humans be the only ones to shroom out that? Somebody showed me an illustration years ago that showed a picture of like a saurian creature, kind of like a kind of verging between more dinosauroid but also somewhat reptilian in appearance, and it was like ogling this big oversized magic mushroom. The implication being that it would consume it and then derive whatever kind of hallucinatory or metaphysical benefits that are to be had from imbibing in such substances.
Yeah, I've learned that, the young guy likes it. I don't know if any other family members are taking it, but Ninyanan definitely likes it.
Now, are there
Like,
certain places that you go harvest them that you know that there's some cow flop there, and then after a good rain and a bit of sunshine, you go out there and then I don't want you to reveal any trade secrets, but I'm just wondering, because how much would it take for him to get a buzz off that? Would it take like a gram or a half gram or more? Like a, I'm thinking in earthly physical density terms, body mass ratio and all that, right? But it could not may not apply in this instance.
when I first learned about, his like for that by accident. But since then, I have a friend of a friend who had some, and so give him some money, and he gave me way more than what is normally the price for, what I paid. All right. And he did that a couple times. And then my nephew, Dwayne, allowed my nephew to come up for a night. And he also had some. And he had a bag of the stuff, like a big bag, just left over from whatever. And he gave it to me, right? So, and then it's funny, I was on Facebook in some group, and there was a post about people, hey, if anybody has something that somebody else needs, blah blah blah, just people helping each other, right? And I had jokingly, I gave away a set of tires, winter tires, to somebody, but I had jokingly said, yeah, if anybody has some magic mushrooms, it's for a young teenage Sasquatch, no joke, right? I actually got a response, and I met up with the guy for a coffee. Found out he's been going to a certain spot for about the last 5 years, experiencing activity. And yeah, he gave me about 5.5 grams. And so I've been measuring out usually about 4 grams when I go there, and I usually give him that. So I have a bit of a stash left for him. I don't do stuff, like I did when I was younger, but it's too much for my body, right? And but if I accumulate any, it's all going to Ninyanan at this point. So
That's fascinating. I mean, it's well established in the shamanic traditions in Mesoamerica, let's say South America, Bolivia, Andes, and other places, that the shamans there, when they're asking for some kind of favor or, some form of beneficence from the spirits that they're trying to appease, let's say, it's quite common for them to provide a little bottle of whiskey, right? That's one of the things that they offer up, as well as food and other items, right? So why wouldn't
that's a good
some?
idea. So sorry to interrupt, but that's a good idea. I'm gonna get a little, just a little one, little bottle of whiskey or whatever, and I'm gonna bring that and see if they take that. You never know, right?
Let's hope we don't lead him down the road to ruin, He becomes a down and outer in 5 years, Trace him back. It's that cryptid guy. He did it to me. No, we're not going to do that to you, Nan. We're not going to do that to you. We're
No, this
doing
is for
this
the adults, man.
for
This is for the
the
adults.
adults. That's right. So, what we're seeing here is interaction at very many levels. Now, I know that as a humanitarian and yourself, I'm talking about, and your love for these beings, at least this particular tribe, did they mention to you or suggest in some way their, unhappiness, their feelings about all the directed energy inspired wildfires that are going on, the all-out war on the environment that the would-be controllers of this world are doing, right? Montana has been up in flames in the recent past. Have they given any suggestion about their thoughts about all this?
They're very tight-lipped, James. They know what's going on with this earth a hell of a lot more than we do. They know who's behind it. I've asked them about weather manipulation, that, are they causing, are bad humans creating tornadoes and manipulating the weather to harm us, to harm humans? And they said yes, right? They know what's going on. I've asked them a few conspiracy related questions. Anytime there's conspiracy thrown in front of it, to me, that's just, it tends to be truth, right? And they throw that word in front of it to try and suppress it. But they're very tight-lipped. They don't give a lot of information. I don't know if they're allowed to. What level of, I don't know. That I have never had a back and forth question and answer with them, except through, sorry, I can't say that because I do the written communication. I ask a question out loud and I write it down. I don't get a lot of things answered. I get a lot of things answered and I don't get a lot of things answered. So, I try to dig deeper into what's going on with, wildfire season now, right? To me, it's all, there's no doubt in my mind that this is all being done purposely, right? There's a lot of destruction. The bad ones would rather burn everything down to rule over the ashes instead of letting humans be happy, right?
Yeah, and all the animals of the forest, the flora and fauna too. Every time that these wildfires, so-called, erupt, and there's definitely a DEI, getting my conspiracies mixed up, a directed energy aspect to it. I can't help but think of all the animals, the critters out there that are just going to go up in a puff of smoke, and it just irks me no end. It's bad enough of doing this to people, but leave the bloody animals out of it.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It like I have a real heart towards nature and critters, any critters. So, the harm being done to them, yeah, that it's heart-wrenching for sure,
And well, please continue.
No, sorry, actually, because I was going to digress. Just
Oh
I'll
no,
let you.
digress, please, digress.
I had something pop in my head. I remembered about that foot cast that was laser scan. So I gave, as Sonia passed, right? I was really, heartbroken about that, but I had given her the same cast, and I haven't done this myself yet, but she said that she had I don't know if it was a friend or acquaintance that was a reflexologist. And she showed her the cast, and as soon as she said it, she goes, "That's not human." So there was something about it, that this reflexologist understood that, there was some trait about it that made it outside human. So I found that really interesting because it looks very human, that foot, right?
Well, there are aspects to their gait and the way they stride. Like one could argue that our feet are not constructed perfectly. I mean, the way we have to, land generally heel first and kind of amble along, and the way that they've been described, how they can step over a high barbed wire fence with no effort at all and just land practically flat-footed, right? There must be something, having seen so many feet, this reflexologist would have said there's something different about this. This is not quite right.
Some of the trackways that I documented, Neff's foot is even beyond the tightrope walk. It's actually crossing over.
So,
it's not,
in other words,
and I don't mean to.
it's not just toe to heel. There's something else, like an overlap of some kind.
Yeah, so he would, there'd be that tightrope walk. Like humans, we'd be like this. They tend to be like that, but his foot would even cross over, like just, I don't know how he could walk like that, but
So
some of the trackways that I've seen.
that's a characteristic of Neff in particular, or you've observed that in others that may not be Neff, left by Neff.
I think it could have just been him doing that purposely. Not necessarily that's how he always walks, but you know, because I'm visualizing a particular trackway where there was four prints through a snowmobile track on Dwayne's property. This was before I knew I could cast in snow too, because they were absolutely perfect prints to pour cast, right? And yeah, the foot is like crossed right over. It's you know, any human would fall over
Oh yeah,
if you know, when you look at that.
we got things in the way like gonads that we just can't cross our legs that way without feeling some degree of discomfort. But again, it underscores their ability because we think, I tend to think still that, in physical density terms, right? Well, he's showing, well, there may not even really be a physical aspect to it as we understand it, maybe at the point of solidifying his foot in order to make the impression to leave you with that head scratching image, you know what I mean? But because as you know, they have the ability to alter their density to not only be invisible, but to be partially invisible too, which I think is fascinating. Oh, and to also be
Yeah.
able to leave imprints of weight on a surface when they're not visible. So they're not in the visible light spectrum, they're there nonetheless. And paradoxically, if you try to, stick your hand through the area where you presume them to be based on the impression they're leaving in real time, you don't feel anything. This is an aspect similar to reptilians. They have this ability too, to be able to densify certain specific parts of their anatomy, their claws, their penises, whatever the case may be. But to someone reaching out and trying to feel them when they're invisible in the visible spectrum, they feel nothing, right? It's a paradox. Built upon a paradox from our earthly terms.
So I think that they can shift their internal vibration frequency to different frequencies of physicality and non-physicality. Dwayne, I remember there is one incident where he walked into Neff, and he landed on his ass on the road. You know, he walked into him and bounced off him and ended up on his ass on the road, and you know, there was nothing visible. It just you know, that was something that happened. But there's, you know, there's a lot of physical contact, but I'm not one to, if I get pat in the head, I'm not all of a sudden going like that trying to feel them, you know, just out of respect. I don't want to do that, right? Like there's been many times where, you know, I'll put my hand up and say, hey man, you know, or put my hand out, can you guys shake my hand?
High five kind of thing.
I've asked for a hug. I got that last year. That was awesome. I was outside when that happened. I got it from behind. You know, it's always abrupt, right? But it's there's no doubt of what's happened, what's going on with the physical contact. It's, you know, it's a no-brainer when it happens, really. I never get tired of it either, right?
Well, at this point, if I were in your shoes, and I can only speak from the outside looking in, but thus far the experiences have been benign, even pleasant at times. I wouldn't want those contacts to discontinue because it seems like they kind of see you as a friend and an ally, and or maybe even be protective of you in some way. Have you ever felt at some point some kind of intervention on their part where they stop some misfortune happening to you? Do you feel that they've ever made an effort in that regard?
I don't know. I have had two incidents in my life long time ago. One would be over 30 years, the other about 27 years now. And one was was downtown Toronto on a sunny Saturday. I was on a one-way, I think it was Richmond Street, right downtown Toronto. And I'm at the front line there at a red light, and I was usually quick off the light. I have a daughter, and she was 4 at the time, so she was in the vehicle beside me. And all of a sudden, the light changes, and I'm usually quick, right, off the light. Something distracted me in my ear. 2 seconds, enough to stop me from pressing the gas pedal. The vehicle beside me got hit by a stolen minivan that ran the light. It killed him on impact, right beside me. So that stopped. Somebody intervened there. And then the other one was skydiving, and it was my fifth jump. I was training. It was in Coldwater, Ontario, and I remember I was the last one out. So it's just me, the pilot, and the instructor, and I'm sitting on the plane. I'm sitting like this, just waiting till he gets into the right space there before I step out. And all of a sudden, my shoulder strap gets pushed off my arm. I wasn't moving. It just like gets pushed off. And I was like, "What the hell?" Instructor, he's like, "What the hell?" And he reaches over and he tightens it up. And I remember I still jumped, and I remember my shoulder straps when with a chute semi-deployed, my shoulder straps were up here. I felt like I was going to fall right out of the thing. They're supposed to be like tight, and they were up there. And then I had a line over the middle, so I had just air on both sides. And then before I hit the ground, I pulled my steering lines down. It completely collapsed the chute. And I remember my legs kicking up when that happened. And I come down that last, I don't know, 40, 50 feet hard. And I come down on a flat rock on my back, crushed my wrist, fractured my T7, but something tried to stop me from jumping. So that was June 7th, 1997.
I
That
think
still
that,
hurts.
well, I hope
Still hurts.
the pain alleviates or diminishes over time. I've heard similar things from people that have had contacts with one or more groups of ETs, where, and this is not to suggest that ETs were behind, these interventions, so-called, but where something happened where there was some kind of intervention, angelic or whatever the case may be, that prevented people from coming to serious harm. And then, further down the track, it emerges these people have had contacts with ETs all their life of one form or another. So, definitely there's been some intervention. And the two examples that you gave are, wow, they're really, profound in my view.
When I was, I remember in my mom's not with us anymore. It was 6 years ago, but when I was still in the crib, I remember a story they told me. I'd be having a conversation with somebody. Parents would come in the room, and I think I said it was my grandmother or something, So I'm talking to spirits or. And I have incidents throughout my life that shows me I'm being watched, right? And I asked Neff's family, am I watched? I asked them, am I watched by bad humans? They said, yes. Am I watched by good? Yes. Am I watched by non-humans? Yes. So that's all I have on that, right?
Yeah. Now it seems that they have this habitat, if you will, living out there in the wilds of Ontario. Did you ever get any indication, either through them or through a dream or some kind of mystical vision, if there are any other worlds or realms that they inhabit or spend time at, in time in a linear sense, I guess, because some of these cryptids do seem to have the ability to enter through dimensional gateways, doorways, if you will, go from one place to another. I'm just wondering if this particular band of Sasquatch, if they have more than one home, if they have more than one realm that they reside in, at least part of the time.
Like I've asked them where they come from, where do their people come from? They wrote home here always. As far as that realm where they reside in that invisible interdimensional state, I learned that through a drawing that I finally, deciphered, basically, it showed like a maybe a realm with a line connecting to another realm. And then at the top of the picture was a face with these two horns, and the face wasn't happy. And then there's the three dots in a triangle, and they basically put a happy face on that, right? And they've said, go there, which is where they are in this other realm. And I learned it's because they're safe there. This demonic whatever, or evil, or bad humans, or whatever, they can't access them there. They are safe in that place, right? So we have the ability to go there. I just don't know how yet. Hopefully, I would love to learn that, right?
So, in other words, if they get wind of the fact that the controllers want to deforest their habitat with directed energy weapons or whatever, then they, if they so choose, they can go into this other realm or make themselves impervious, so to speak, by altering their density or something. But it sounds like they've got a safe refuge, a sanctuary, if you will.
Yeah, from what I gather, yeah.
Well, it stands to reason because this is becoming increasingly a hostile world as time goes on. And in the time that we got left here in the first segment, what are your thoughts in general as to the ET UFO scene, the cryptid community scene? And I kind of draw a parallel with what we're seeing in these faux UFO disclosure hearings that were the spectacle we're being presented with. To me, there's no doubt that it's an effort at whitewashing and gatekeeping because they don't want to talk to people that have actually had experiences with ETs. When the term
No.
biologics comes up, they just talk about it in terms of, oh yes, these deceased biologics have been found, and they just leave it at that. It's like, never mind what the living ones are doing, interacting with humans, and some of them even messing with nuclear weapon systems. When they so feel like it, right? So basically what we're seeing is a whitewash of that, and setting up this panel or this august body of military, ex-military contractor types to be the go-to people. These are the ones now who have the authority, the gravitas. They're the experts. Everyone else, like me and what have you, we're just whack jobs, of course. And I think it's important that the so-called cryptid research needs to be a part of disclosure, has to be, because
It's all connected.
it's all connected, and some ET groups do interact with Sasquatch type beings. We know that for a fact. So I go, what are your thoughts about all of that? And as far as disclosure, and as far as the state of cryptid research, and you've touched on that, some of that earlier.
And vice versa too. I actually had a I've been making a few visits this past past a few months up to a cabin in the Lost Channel area, which is a couple hours north of me. It's God's country up there. It's all forest and lakes, and so I've been going up there with the cabin owner, and he's a ex-cop, detective, was acting sergeant, 15 years as a cop and top of his class. He's a credible guy. He said if you had told him 2 years ago about this stuff, he would have just entirely dismissed it. He's now done a 180, and he's just all about consciousness and trying to figure out all this stuff out, right? So we've been going in with the intent of trying to call in a ship. And so the last visit of the year, he shuts down for the winter. Last visit of the year, we went up there, and it was absolutely perfect conditions. At one point we're standing outside, it's dark now, and I think he was just about to set up a telescope, and we're talking, and suddenly this bright, large orb, yellowish orb shows up in the sky, coming right towards us over top of the trees. I'm not sure the altitude of it, but it was high, but it wasn't that high. It was still quite low. It just all of a sudden there it is, right? And as it passed over top of us, and we had just done a meditation earlier, to with the intent of calling in a ship. So as it was passing over top of us, we actually both got a glimpse of a hull of a ship behind that wasn't lit up behind the front end, which was the orb. And I like gasped because it's like, holy sh, you know, there's a freaking hull. There's a ship. It's a ship. And as soon as they knew that we both saw it, they lit up the back end, and it was different colors. It was elongated lights. And I didn't quite get the gist of the shape, except that it was elongated, cylindrical. It might have had some protrusions from it on it. Could have been the length of a football field or more. Passed right over top of us, slowly, just cruising along. And Tyler, he managed to get down to his dock through a short jaunt through the forest to see it still going. And I ran in to get my video camera, and so I made my way through there. Didn't have my flashlight, so I'm kind of stumbling in the dark, trying to get through this patch of forest down to where he was. And I did. I got there just in time to see this thing still moving, and then it stopped. I kept measuring it against a star, and it sat there, and it sat there. I think probably close to an hour, and then it was gone. We kept checking on it. We sat there for a while. It just stopped like a star in the sky, bright star in the sky. And yeah, that was pretty incredible. And there's Sasquatch presence there as well, right? So got it all going on there.
Have you ever thought of using the Sasquatch that Urine comes with as a sort of liaison? Would that factor into the meditation and the pre, effort, the pre-meeting, so to speak, with the sighting you just described? Did you ever think of like bringing them into the picture?
I think they're all well aware. It's all consciousness related. Basically, call the ship in with our consciousness, right? So I'm sure they are aware of the Sasquatch connection going on, with myself. And when I made my first visit there, the property owner, he never had a Sasquatch experience before. There was another guy with us there that night too, and he had never had a experience like a visual or anything like that. They gave him a visual that night, woke him up. I got woken up telepathic with a telepathic vocal in the morning, so I knew there was, Sasquatch presence there 100%. And then there's been a few other things that have happened over next couple of visits. Property owner had his leg tugged, and then his other leg tugged. We're sitting on the couch before I leave and got to go home. There's a window right there. We hear a pebble hit a stone hit the window, right beside us. Little things like that. That's what they do, right? But as far as I digress again. As far as the whole disclosure thing, yeah, the military, the government, they always want to control the flow of information too, right? And I don't know, but I also have the thought that perhaps they're all this stuff going on, we're being groomed for this alien invasion BS that they might throw at us, right? Apparently, the last card up their sleeve before they try to bring in their one world government, right? This is what's said. I don't know how true that is, the whole Project Bluebeam thing. And so just watching, seeing how it unfolds. And they're always trying to control that flow of information, right? And like you said, they're not coming up to those of us who have had contact or have ongoing contact. They're not talking to any of us. And we're more of a threat to them, I think. They want us to fear. It's always fear, right? They're always
Yes.
pushing fear.
Have you noticed in the region of forests where Nephin and his tribe are, Any overt military surveillance or like the law enforcement helicopters or troops or law enforcement fish and game types on the ground snooping around?
I had an incident once where I was I have a tent spot that I like to go to in the off season, I call it. Like the when I'm not making visits with Dwayne up at his cottage, it's so one night I had a helicopter. I didn't get a visual on it, but it was low. It was so low I could feel the blades, the I could feel the imp that, I'm talking about when, that blade's turning, that it was so low. I had my audio running too, so I got it all recorded, right? And it was extremely odd because nothing ever flies over there like that, ever, not once. So that one time. Then there was another time, there was a Cessna came over Dwayne's cottage, very, very low, and they were searching for Neff. We got shown. They were searching for them. That's when I wish I had that green laser thing, blind those bastards,
Yeah.
as they're flying by.
Have you heard well, in the old days pre-internet, but with the internet it can be hacked and it can be interfered with, emails being shunted or disappeared or whatever the case may be. Have you had issues like with that, and also phone disruptions? In the old days, we used to get clicks on the phone. It was one of their old cheesy psyops. Could be quite effective when someone's going through a lot of stuff. But have you had any phone disruptions as well?
Nothing that really sticks out. That the way I look at it, I just figure I'm being monitored all the time, and probably a lot of us are. I figure they're probably gathering everything, to I don't let it bother me. Sometimes I'll give them a few words if they're listening or not. Once in a while, I don't. As much as I don't care, of course I care a bit, right? It's my privacy, but I don't have any fear of these negative, nasty humans, with their manipulation and fear tactics. I don't have any fear of them.
That's good. That's a good attitude to have. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with you, Micah. Could you let our listeners and viewers know how they could find you and your work?
I have a YouTube channel, Sasquatch Ontario, and a lot of good stuff on there. You can reach me at sasquatchontario@yahoo.ca for Canada, and sasquatchontario.com, a website that I barely update. I should do that more, but anybody that wants to share their stories with me, feel free to reach out. And I do my best to stay on top of the emails, but I do get overwhelmed at times, so I kind of let things go sometimes, and I gotta play catch up.
Totally understandable. To our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.